It's a very good afternoon to the Minister for Indigenous Affairs, Senator the Honourable Nigel Scullion. Thank you for coming on the program.
No problems at all, Greg. Good to talk to you, mate.
Yeah. Look, you've got a job that really gets your time cut out, I suppose, at times with some of the things you've got to deal with. One of the issues that on top of the agenda is a change in the Work for the Dole scheme. Tell us a bit about that.
Well, we're not interested in communities about working for the Dole.
Yeah,
I can
say
that clearly because that's a reflection of what the communities believe.
Yeah.
So there is a Work for the Dole scheme in town,
yeah,
the bigger towns. But we are now reflecting on what communities want. They've said basically, listen, yes, there might have been some problems with CDEP, but it was bucket loads better than we've got happening today. Since the change from CDEP to RJCP, 60% of people left and remain now in poverty and on passive welfare.
Yep.
So we've made a decision, a conscious decision. We would make the new scheme as much like the CDEP as possible again, and we'll be moving back to having a better scheme and a better CDEP. Fundamentals are going to be that the activities need to be much more flexible, much more community-focused. They're going to be designed with the community, mm-hmm, so they're meeting the community needs. The sort of norms we need to establish, that's what we're trying to do, is say we want a daily routine, we've got to address the issues of passive welfare, and we've got to give job seekers skills to help them on a pathway to work. I was actually in Milangimbi yesterday, a place of northeast Arnhem Land,
where
we actually held a work expo. We had 22 different employers, we had 300 people come, which really puts pays to this rubbish that there is no jobs in communities. That's garbage. There is jobs in communities. It's just not local Aboriginal or Torres Strait Islander people actually doing the jobs. So this is a fundamental change. We know that sit-down money is hurting communities. Communities have said, we want to move back to the CDEP, and that's exactly to as much as we can is what we're doing.
Well, that'll be welcome news to many places right across the country.
Well, it is a reflection of what they've wanted. I've spent the last 3 years across the country. Yes, I've spent the better part of the last couple of years in government. But in opposition, I spoke to people at length, as I have in government, and we can continue with the RJCP in its current form, but that's not what people want. So we're going down that road, what communities have asked for, and we think it's going to have much better outcomes. Certainly it's causing a lot of excitement wherever I go.
Mr. Scullion, one of the things that have been on the agenda in this part of the world anyway is the white paper for Northern Australia. Give us your thoughts on where that's going to be in around about 10 years from now.
Well, I think the white paper is an action plan,
mm-hmm,
that's going to create sustainable development and growth in North Australia. So what it's done, we've said, well, what are the blockages? You know, what do you need to create agriculture? What do you need to do this? What do you need to do that? And part of, certainly in my portfolio, I've said, look, well, Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people have an interest in land, have a significant interest in land, whether through Native Title or Land Rights Act or conventional actual landholding. And they want to be part of the action. So we've actually got a number of initiatives in the white paper that deal with primarily with land tenure and supporting native title groups. So we've, many of the prescribed body corporates have said, well, we'd like to help, but we really haven't got any money because we haven't done anything yet. So it's okay if you've already got a mine or an agricultural development or something that you've developed. The prescribed body corporate invariably has some funds. But where it hasn't happened, it's a bit of an unequal negotiation when you've got one side with the countryman being represented by a prescribed body corporate that doesn't have any real funding, and you've got some, perhaps an agricultural prospect or someone who's a big company with money. It's not even. It's not really equitable. So we're going to provide $20.4 million over forward estimates to better support those native title bodies, the native title holders, to build it, not only to negotiate, but to actually build their capacity of the staff to be able to negotiate, to provide legal advice and those sorts of things. So there's other impediments, like In some places, you don't actually have cadastral surveys that have been done, so we don't actually have completed land surveys, which is a bit of an issue, particularly on Aboriginal land or land that is subject to native title, because it might be a portion of land. So we've got another $17 million to ensure that, you know, if you're going to need to support secure property rights, you're going to have the capacity to go and map things. You need to have cadastral surveys, and that's going to help a lot with that. Because, of course, if we're going to expand North Australia, particularly in terms of agriculture and in tourism, the thing we're selling is this wonderful island state that we've fundamentally protected from biosecurity issues like Trochoderma, the grain beetles, and water, Conjera salii, the black striped mussel that we know will just devastate our reefs and our marine ecosystem. And so we need a stronger biosecurity process, and I've been a champion to say, we don't need an additional biosecurity process. We just simply need to use our Indigenous ranger groups across the north of Australia. And so we've provided an additional $12.4 million to expand the surveillance and compliance activities for our ranger groups. They are the eyes and ears of the north. We need to recognise that and provide additional funding to expand that. So this, again, is not something that uniquely has come out of my head. This has come as a consequence of people talking to me about some of the challenges and the sort of things that would help. So I'm very confident that the white paper will ensure that not only that where we can sustainably develop the north, we can do so that countrymen don't miss out and they can equitably negotiate these terms so they can equitably negotiate agreements because they have the sort of resources and the capacity to do that rather than just sort of being the poor cousin in the corner and someone with plenty of money coming and dictating to them. That's not fair and not equitable. And so we've made a number of challenges to pick that up.
Senator, also on the horizon is a possibility of a referendum to change the constitution to recognise Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people. There's as I was doing a bit of research onto that, I bumped into this part of the Section 25, which currently allows the states to disqualify people from voting on the base of race. And also there was a Section 51 used there to in reference to race as well. Now, that's something that I think a lot of average, ordinary, everyday Australians would be quite shocked to know that that's still in the Constitution.
Well, look, I think in terms of Section 25 allowing the states to legislate on the basis race. I understand the basis of much of that was actually in Queensland about the capacity for South Sea Islanders, non-Australians, to vote.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a redundant process now and should be taken out of the Constitution. That's my view, and everybody shares that view.
Yeah.
In terms of the powers to legislate in terms of race and under Section 51,
mm-hmm.
Well, that's something that was actually considered in the 1967 referendum. It allowed the Commonwealth Government to make laws and to provide processes, to be able to provide for things like the white paper, to be able to provide for a whole range of policies. And that's the part of the Constitution that allows the Commonwealth Government to fund Indigenous programs. Without that, we just have to fund the state. But because it allows the Commonwealth to make legislation in a certain way, there is some consideration from some to say, well, we only want it to be legislation that benefits people. So there's some conversations around that.
Yeah.
I'll leave the content to others. But fundamentally, yes, there are. They're the two matters. One, Section 25, I don't even think it's controversial anymore. It's like housekeeping. That was something they did way back in the day. It's no longer necessary. It wouldn't have used. We need to get rid of it.
Yeah.
But the other matter is the matter also that was subject to a pretty substantial change in the 1967 referendum. We need to think carefully about what we're changing, about what a lot of people put in there now. If people, of course, think that just the state should be able to do those programs and the Commonwealth shouldn't be involved, well, that's a matter that they'll have to consider. But look, this is a very important process, and it's an important process that we should have the most aspirational target in terms of the words in the Constitution, but that can be accepted by not only the majority of the states, but by the majority of people in Australia. So the formula is not difficult to work out. That's the balance we have to come up with. If we don't come up with that balance, then it will be a constitutional referendum will fail, and I just think that would be an appalling situation for Australia.
Senator Nigel Scullion, thank you so much for affording time right here on Black Star Radio.
It's always a pleasure, Greg, and good luck with Black Star Radio. I heard lots of good things about it. It keeps countrymen connected with each other as well as connected to issues of government. So congratulations on your work.
Thank you so much.